It was kind of inspired by Amy Poehler's podcast recently and just like devouring it. Like,
it's
wait. Whatever day it comes out that night, I cannot wait. I watch it.
Yeah. While I'm doing dishes. So exciting. Yeah. I hope people feel that way about the M-Take.
Yeah. Maybe. One day. I really hope so. It is literally, and it's so funny. You know, at the end of her episode, she talks about, like, what's been making you laugh recently and, like, whatnot. And I feel like that's just such an us-coded thing. Like,
it's all
brings
us.
You joy?
It's all us. It's even in the Dakota Johnson episode when she's like, that's the whole point of a podcast. Like, it's a safe space for the listener, for me, for the person. I'm like, hello. Like, have us on. We're here. We're waiting for you.
We're waiting
for you. I'm obsessed with her. And even in Dakota's episode in particular, the way Dakota talks, I feel like we both go there sometimes and like are soft. Her dream was hysterical.
Dream, I've gone back and watched it 5 times. Like, she's like, and then they go into a helicopter as a spare guy.
I feel like you would have a dream like that.
No, literally. She's like, Angelina like Jolie? What is she doing there?
It reminded me so much of you.
Oh, I loved that episode so much.
There's something to say about listening to some lighthearted, girly chit-chat.
Yeah, and just, like, comedic. We know also. The people she has on, like, it's just such a particular niche population that speaks to my soul. Like, the SNLs and, like, it's
the
just
the Tinas, the Kristens, the Amys.
Oh,
it's amazing.
Oh, my God. And, like, the Will Fortes and the Seth Meyers.
Paul
and
Rudd.
Paul Rudd. Oh, my God. That episode.
That, I want to listen to it again. Me too. I wasn't focused enough for it. I think I just need to go back and listen
again. Are you watching them?
I'm not.
You have to watch them.
Because I putz around. I'm, like, I'm making lunches, I'm doing this, but I'll put it on my phone.
Phone. Do you have like a little stand?
No, I need one.
Put it on your phone. I'll link it and then send it to you, and give us commission.
I'll be the one purchaser.
Perfect. And I just in the kitchen, whether I'm like cooking or whatever, I've been using my iPhone stand, and I'll just have it up. And same thing, I'm still putzing. Like, I'm not sitting and watching every frame, but like it's just the comedy of it all. Like, you need the multimedia. Like, it's
noted. I'll do it.
It's so good. It's just so us coded. Like, again, her being like, you know, what brings you joy? I'm like, it's like they're dopamine playbooks.
Yeah.
And then we need to start. But it's also just so humanizing. These people that you idolize or you really admire from a comedy lens, talk about the things that bring them joy. And those are the same things that bring me joy. Like, Paul Rudd likes to watch bloopers. Like, he likes to watch people break. One of my top dopamine playbook items is watching Paul Rudd break on This Is 40 with Melissa McCarthy and Leslie Mann. So it's
so
like,
good.
I feel just like this kindred connection.
Yeah, it really, it humanizes them. And it's so good. And even just like Amy being so vulnerable and saying like, I'm a little bit nervous about this. Like, she gets nervous too, no matter how seasoned, no matter how revered, no matter how loved. Like, we are all human. Everyone poops.
Everyone poops. It's a quick hot take that I love Smartless. And as we know, like, Will Arnett and Amy Poehler were married and have children together. And I've always been fascinated with the Jason Bateman, like, with that group of friends.
Yeah.
Jennifer Aniston, just all of it. All of it. I just want to be one dinner, please. Yeah. Give a kidney. And honestly, since watching Amy's podcast, I feel like I know a side of her now that, like, if I would have been, like, a couple friends with them, I now know that I would have hoped to get Amy in the divorce. As much as that group of friends is like so interesting to me, like, no hate, no shame to them, like, I need Amy in the divorce. Like,
she would love to hear that,
to be with her and her friends and like with our coats and our totes and at the dinner and like
she would really appreciate this feedback.
Yeah. Anyway.
I love it.
Hi, my beautiful bestie. Well, how are you doing today?
We just had a 15-minute podcast about podcasts. We're keeping it because we'll let the listeners, we'll lift up the hood on our pre-record button. Yeah. I love it.
Which is vital information.
Yeah, how are you doing exactly. Today? Well, let's flip the script. How are you doing? You bonked your head, your little Capella.
I am my Capella. I did. I'm okay. I'm doing much better. I think. I was a little, I might have had a little bit of a concussion.
She's slightly concussed. I do believe she's slightly concussed. And she is being monitored with a lot of compassion and support from this beautiful bestie over here and her family at home. And she's going to be okay. She's on monitoring 24 hours a day.
Yes, from all avenues.
I don't care how annoying I am.
You were like, wait, did you actually hit your head? I thought you just had a headache like 24 hours after. And I was like, no. And now you're like all hands on deck. Like, have you gone to the doctor?
Like, concerned that you had a headache and it like, you know, you needed to get off screens early. Yeah. It was really a plot twist in your evening on Monday. Mm-hmm. But now like this is a whole new chapter.
Oh, no. I could not look at a phone because I was seeing stars for over an hour.
No.
I was just grateful to be ahead of the game and that. Like, yes. I didn't have that the podcast was at least up and it was, thank God I did it early.
You continued your momentum of being on it. And now, as always, as with every playbook, we love curveballs that get thrown at you. Mm-hmm. And you had a concussed curveball thrown at your face, head, back of the head. And we're just monitoring. So everybody send warm wishes, kind regards. By the time you're listening to this, mm-hmm. We should know for sure.
We should. I think one really underrated thing about, or like, I don't know if it's underrated, unexpected thing, I guess, about parenthood or maybe adulthood, maybe both, is like how when you are injured or like under the weather or like whatever, it's just like, it's so much less about like the pain you're in or whatever and just like the inefficiency of it.
Oh, it's so
it's
true.
It's just like, I don't have time to have a concussion. Like, this is so inconvenient.
Even when you are in pain, like you stub a toe and you're like, I can't do this.
No, it's like, I just need to be able to walk normally. Like, so effing annoying.
Oh, man. Well, let's keep monitoring this beautiful Capella.
I will. How are you? Man. What curveballs are you hitting out of the park this week?
Just constant ninjing. No, we're doing dandy over here. The birds have left the nest officially, if you listened to last week's episode. And there were tears shed, Mel.
By you?
Yeah.
Did you see it happen?
Maybe. No, I didn't see the little chickies leave, but I saw the mom and partner leave.
And the mom and her partner.
I'm
wow.
So sad. I'm so sad.
So now
sad.
It's just an empty nest?
It's an literally. Empty nest. It's a constant reminder. Every time I see it, that time is passing.
Will other birds use that nest?
It's questionable. We'll have to wait and see. We're not going to take it anywhere because, like, what if they come back? What if they're so unhappy in their next location that they need to come back to their nest?
Yeah, I don't know the, like, turnaround lifespan of like a home for a bird, like
same.
Do they come back? Is that just like, are they seasonal?
Right, like what's the 411?
What's the 411?
I'll make dinner though. I'll if they come back, like happy to make a little buffet.
Maybe another girls' night with the mom. Yeah, check in on her and see how she's doing.
That part really got me. We'll see how far her pink has come back. Yeah, and her feathers.
Maybe
but
she'll
anyway,
come back a flamingo.
We shall see.
You'll know. Time? It won't be random when there's a flamingo in your backyard. You'll be like, are my friend?
You came back. Oh, my God. Come back. Can't ever miss an opportunity to quote Rose and Jack.
No.
But anywho, so the birds have left. We, you know, Ryan built us a garden a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. And we are thriving. I mean, these vegetables are it's really, really been fun for That's us amazing. And the kids. However, this week I learned something new.
Yeah.
We have this thing. It's an invasion of little bugs. I know how we both feel about bugs, but they're called aphids. and they can sometimes like infest a garden. So Ryan's been like swirly twirly about solving this issue. He got ladybugs. He bought like 100 ladybugs.
Because they'll eradicate the aphids.
Correct. So he released the ladybugs last night and I'm like at the sink doing dishes, watching him out the garden. I'll have to post a picture of our view.
Where does one buy ladybugs?
So he went to the nursery down the street. Bought ladybugs, released the ladybugs, and it's a whole thing now. So we have our eyes on the ladybugs. They have a very big job to do, and we'll report back.
Wow. Make sure those windows are closed and locked tight because ladybug infestations in homes are a real thing.
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. Like, the boys are kind of whelmed by it, not over, not under.
Okay, that's good.
So we'll see. Yeah, we're supportive of our supportive garden king.
Wait, that's so – and are the vegetables, like, super crispy and crunchy and delicious?
So we don't have any crunchy veggies just yet. Mm-hmm. Like, the cucumbers, the carrots of the world. We have lettuce wraps. We're actually going to – or not – we have lettuce. We're making lettuce wraps tonight with those lettuces, which is fun. And we have a bunch of herbs. So cilantro, like, made guac over the weekend with our cilantro. We have some dill, some dill, and some green onion. It's been fun to walk and gallivant to the garden.
I love that. And I think when you have fresh herbs in the garden, it's so amazing. When you don't have them, you're like, oh, I gotta get basil at the store. You don't really think about it. When you have fresh herbs, it really does elevate every recipe.
I feel fancy.
Especially this time of year.
Yeah. I'm like, what can I put in something that I normally
wouldn't? You should do like a tomato, basil, mozzarella, just like platter. Ooh. Just like have out around 3 p.m.
Why not?
Saturday.
With some toothpicks.
You know? Salt, a little olive oil.
Yeah.
Delicious.
So I'm really excited about that. I'll have to do a little, I'll show you what they look like now because you're not going to believe it. Like a before and after. It's crazy.
Wait.
It's so crazy.
And just the aesthetic in general, like looking out the window.
Oh, it's beautiful. So. Thanks for asking. Oh, I have one more thing to tell you.
Yes.
I got a new emotional support water bottle.
What kind?
I'm obsessed. It's a definitely like Sia in Fringe Court Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
It's called the Hydro Jug.
Yeah. I've been seeing these in some really cool colorways.
It's amazing.
But it's also a straw?
It's not a straw. Top. Yeah, it's a flip top. Thank you. And it's...
All right. Well, can you link that?
Oh, yes. Good idea.
I'll put the phone stand on for you. You put that on for me.
Two commissions.
I'm in need because my Stanleys, you know, I have my Owala that honestly has been sitting in my bag since Mexico. And I just like keep forgetting to take it out to like wash
it.
it's gone. It's out of sight, out of mind. So I've been using my Stanleys and... my straws, I'm just like hating them.
Straws become work. I know it's like so ridiculous to say first world problems, but there's something about the flip straw that feels secure.
Yeah. And I don't need to go find it somewhere and like find a new one. Yeah. Just like they kind of skeeve me out. Like I wash them, I put them in the dishwasher, they're clean, but they just like the plastic of it all.
This feels
and
good.
And you can throw that in your bag. It won't spill.
Correct.
See, that's the thing.
I love a test try because sometimes they say leak-free, but it's not. And I actually got the kids' version for the boys.
Yeah.
Because there's like a cover on the bottom. So if they fall, which is the worst sound in the world, when the stainless steel water bottles fall, it's like, oh my God. As a teacher,
literally,
it would crush my soul. And now as a parent, I'm like, oh my God. So it's supposed to lighten that and then not and protect the stainless steel. So when we get the kid ones, I'll report back, see if they're worth
it. Yes, please do.
Yeah.
Please do. I'm going to order that one in the meantime, though.
I'm highly recommend.
Thank you for sharing.
Of course. Shall we 2 truths, no lies? Mm. What are we taking on today
first? Let's do it. Oh, independence. Just in time for
the 4th of July.
Independence Day.
That's it. Who knows? We're going to remain independent and really just like focus on our take and not really involve the United States independence
We're gonna make an active choice to like attach this to that week because why not, but like make an active choice not to acknowledge anything related.
Correct.
To our country.
At this juncture.
Yeah. It's because a coping mechanism.
It's a coping mechanism because we can ground ourselves, zoom back in after being zoomed out and feeling helpless. We zoom in to feel a little more hopeful and think about how we can cultivate independence with ourselves, our children, and all around.
Love it.
Yay. But first. Yay.
But first. Two truths, no lies.
Yes. You go, my dear.
This could probably be a segue from what we just said. Not pertaining to independence. Intrusive thoughts.
Oh, what a segue. I was on the edge of my seat there.
Intrusive thoughts.
Tell me more.
Can be fleeting and important. Okay. Yeah.
Let's underpin that.
This is kind of, you know, it's very top of mind, I think, for a lot of people in the summer months, a lot of mothers in the summer months, about bodies of water.
Oh.
And children and just, you know, the things that could happen, right?
Yeah.
And we're not going to go too down the doom. What's the doom?
The doom. Oh, what did Jen say?
Yeah.
But we're not going to book a stay at our Dwell Hotel.
At the Dwell Hotel on this. But yeah. Like.
Thank you, Jen.
I think coming out of being away a few weeks ago and just, you know, whatever, like the intrusive thoughts that can like come in a little bit, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I think we have, or at least I have a way of just being like, okay, it's fleeting, give it a second and then move on from it. But then when I was talking with some girlfriends about like drowning and like the real fear of it, and someone kept saying, oh, I know it's an intrusive thought. I know it's an intrusive thought, like almost diminishing it. And it's like, whoa, but like not all intrusive thoughts are something that should be disregarded because like that's actually rooted in fact, right?
And the statistics something very real. Yeah.
Around drowning and young children and bodies of water, right? So again, not to book a stay at the Dwell Hotel, but moving on from that kind of made me think like I think while sometimes these things can be fleeting, it's still important to check in with yourself, like when you're having these certain thoughts, and that like it could be a window into where you're at. And there's a difference between like rational and irrational thoughts, right? So sometimes intrusive thoughts can be rational,
right?
And we have to, you know, utilize our coping mechanisms to not spiral on them.
Yeah.
And then there's ones that are irrational, right?
Yeah.
So I saw this other video, for example, where this mother was talking about, you know, it was just one of those moments like, is it just me? And like, are you normal or do you do this too? One of those videos. And she was like, I have intrusive thoughts about, if God forbid, she had a young baby postpartum and a toddler. And she's like, God forbid something happened to me during the day and I died, what would my toddler do? Like, how would my toddler like survive the day until someone came and found me? This is really dark. And she's like talking about all the different things she does to, you know, I make sure there's a water bottle like close to an edge or on a counter that they can reach. And she's like, I literally do these things throughout the day because it's an intrusive thought of mine. And all the comments were like polarized around like intrusive thoughts and creating like a space where you're like harboring fear around things like that. And then people who have had traumatic things happen to them in childhood and were like, I wish my parent had thought about that in that moment, because I would have had like a different experience.
Yeah.
So again, like there's a difference between that thought of like, what if I died suddenly, like is there a way to set my child up for success? And again, let's not harp on that, right? And like maybe thinking of little things throughout the house or having active conversations, not every day, but teachable moments for your child about like how to call 911 and how to do that. Again, not every day. And thoughts of like, you're driving in a car and you're like, what would happen if I opened the door and jumped out right now? That's an intrusive thought.
What would happen if I'm driving on the highway and I drive right into that pole?
Yeah, intrusive thought. Like, fleeting.
And, yeah, right.
Fleeting. drowning, what would happen if my child was at a barbecue and fell into the water and no one saw them, or something, God forbid, happened to me and my child's alone because no one comes to my house until 5 p.m. Intrusive, not a 0% chance. How do we like cope with those emotions and unspiral and make it more productive, I guess. So anyway, I just, it was sitting with me for a while, but just kind of that idea of like intrusive thoughts, they can be fleeting and important at the same
time. Oh man, my stomach and my heart are turning in so many different directions. Not a bad thing, but you know, it always goes back to safety for me when it comes to my triggers. And I worked hard in therapy to get through the drowning, to get through the choking, all of the above. So if you're listening and you're struggling with some of these things, therapy is amazing and really can help you. But it takes so much effort to find the intermediary and to know that you're still feeling like activated, but there's some rational thinking around this because it's directly related to safety, which speaks to your teachers, no less.
Exactly. Like,
they're going to oscillate. They're going to ebb and flow. What are you listening to? So quickly we go to the worst case scenario. But there's so much prior to that that 100%. We can actually be in control of.
100%. Beautifully said. So concise.
And in And something that I do recently that has it's crazy to think that I'm the same person that I was like 2 years ago near a pool and in a barbecue setting. I'll name it to all the people that I'm around. Like swimming and drowning, it's a thing for me. So if you're talking to me, I'm going to look a little donut glazed. Like I am 1 foot in the conversation and 1 foot out because my main priority is making sure I know where my kids are and I know that they're safe. And I find like naming that just alleviates my stress in those types of situations. Not that they need to know that, but it's my own permission slip.
Yeah, 100%. And that's great. And it's giving you that permission to then not also be balancing that social interaction. I'm just like, oh, they don't feel like a present. Like they know. Right. I'm listening. And they I'm also clocking and that over there.
It's a huge weight lifted off my heart and my brain. And same with Ryan. He knows it's a thing for me. I mean, listen, who isn't it a thing for? Right? Like,
yeah. I actually had a conversation recently where someone said it wasn't a thing for them. And we can talk about that offline and, and what her take was and whatnot. But I think for the majority of people, it's a thing.
Okay, so this is a perfect segue into independence, actually.
I do think it is a little bit,
It really is because, right, if you just look at swimming, someone is learning how to swim. They're not fully independent to someone who doesn't need a floaty and doesn't need a mom or dad on their body or their arm to go around the pool without a floaty, and they're more of an independent swimmer. So this is kind of connected to my two truths, no lies as well. Ryan and I recently entered this phase that we didn't realize we were in until we were in it, where our kids kind of stick near us when we're in public places and we're not afraid of them like running somewhere.
Okay.
Where even if we're not holding their hand. So for example, last week it was the town carnival. As you know, we went 109 times and the kids like were around us and I wasn't concerned about them like running off really quickly if I zoned into a conversation. Like they stuck near us. They were like, you know, naturally independent as it relates to being in control of their body, being curious as to what's around, but they knew how important it was to stick near us. And I was like, oh, this is kind of nice. Like, we don't have to worry about someone just running off. I don't know if that's a boy thing.
No,
but do you? And then we went and played mini golf over Father's Day. And I was like, we're actually playing a game. Like, someone's not running off to play with all of the working rocks on the other side of the golf course. Like we're going from one to the next to the next. And I'm not sure how to conceptualize these two truths, but and that's where I'm going to need your help. But this level of independence as it relates to their body control just feels really nice to be in this phase. And independence takes a lot of time to get there, and that time and patience can be hard to access before you get there.
You just did it.
I did it.
Okay. Yeah. It's just like two truths and lies around independence. It's almost like the flip, right? Like,
yeah,
it takes a really long time to get there, what feels like a really long time to get there. But once you are there, it's really, really nice. And it's kind of like long road high view and laying the groundwork for that almost every day.
Yes.
And it's, I mean, it's something I look forward to for sure. And but like you see glimmers of it around this age, around 2, 2.5 years old, you start to see those glimmers. And again, like an extension of the two truths and the lies, then you're like, oh, but like they need me a little less.
I know, that's the hardest part. Yeah. It has to do with you. You release them so the birds can fly, right? Yeah. Like you have to. And I think in so many different concepts and skills when it comes to parenting little people, like it has to do with them just as much. It has to do with you just as much as it has to do with them. And that's the reality, the positive realism in us.
That 100%. And it's such a beautiful thing, which again is a great segue into what we're taking on today, of course.
Right. The goal is independence, right? Yeah. Like the goal is for them to leave the nest. The goal is for them to go to the potty and wipe themselves and flush and wash and be on your way. Mm-hmm. All of these things, that's the ultimate goal is independence. And, you know, I think we can spend a little bit of time prior to diving into like how to foster that and cultivate that for our kids. And maybe like if there's anything you're grappling with too, like let's chat about it. But what comes up for you when you think about, you know, the overarching concept of independence?
I think really done goal is the first thing, what you just said, that comes to me, because it's always been something I'm really rooted in, because selfishly it's something that I hold very important to myself, and like my parents raised me to be really independent, and it has served me. Of course, there's always a two truths and a lies around that. Sometimes it can be a little debilitating, but for the most part, like it's really served me to be independent, and it's something, especially raising a daughter, I want to really, and of course son, daughter, regardless, but like it's always very forefront of my mind, like raising a strong independent woman is like the goal. Strong, independent, and compassionate woman. And even when we would, and we've talked about this, but even during sleep training, like I would have mantras that I would say to myself, like literally staring in the mirror while she's screaming, and I'd be home alone during the day. It's like nap sleep training, and I'd be like, you are giving her the gift of independence. Like you are giving her the gift of independence. And like, just, it's always been something super important to me and to Mike and raising her. And even in just the ways we go about our time, like when she's developmentally there, allowing her to have a bit more independence. I've joked that I think one of my toxic traits is always assuming she's just a little bit older than she is. And like, I've always given her like a little bit more wiggle room than like maybe she's capable of. But so far it's really worked, because she is pretty independent for her age.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad thing.
And it's not. And I think she takes pride in her independence, and it's really fostered a very nurturing and caring little girl. And it's ironic, because I just picked up a packet from school today that was kind of her year-end report progress card, report. If you will, and her progress report. And the first line of the back of it is my daughter's name, and it's her summary at the end, and it's her name. And she is a very independent and caring little girl. And it's true, and it's like, oh, that's the done goal right there. Like that's sure what we've really been striving for. So
Oh, that's so beautiful, and the fact that you read that today too. I love that. Meant to be, kismet. Meant to be. And I think on the heels of that, like a huge thinking nugget that I try to kind of keep on my periphery all the time is, what am I doing, and then what are they doing? Because that can really lend itself to see, and really the kind of the inverse of what you were just talking about. Like sometimes I enter, like I have to do more first, and I'll do. But then there's this in between of knowing when to pull back, release the responsibility, and give them the chance to do it also. But what you're saying is you're kind of leaning there first.
I do. And it's more of just the treating her sometimes like she's a little bit older than she is. Yeah. And just, you know, whether it's the way I talk to her or the way that, you know, I give her that free space to to do what she's doing.
Right.
And you know, I use your language of just, you know, give it a good try and ask me if you need
exactly.
help. Right. Yep. And yep. she now gets actually something we're working on the flip side of that. She gets really frustrated when you try and help her, which like I still do. So like I'm like, this is mirror. But no, I want to do it this way. And I'm like, okay, you tell me how you want me to help you.
Right. Right.
Otherwise, I'm just going to sit back.
Yep. And that's where the work comes in for you or the person, because it is so stinking hard to just sit back. Like I'll break out in hives sometimes. Like I'll count internally in my head, like to 100. But I use that language all the time. And I think about how critical it is to teach that even to people, even to grownups who need to learn that. Because like, think about it. You want to give it a good try. And then ask for help, because when you give it a good try, that's another, it's synonymous for independence.
Yeah.
And then knowing, okay, I actually need help and I need to ask for help. So both of those things, two truths, no lies, they have to exist to get to that done goal of independence.
Right. And you foster a level of confidence with both pathways.
Right. You have to. You have to.
They're growing that skill of confidence, and they're establishing confidence in trying.
Yeah.
And in also learning to ask for help. Like, I really tried hard at this, and I'm still not getting it. And I knew to ask for help in that moment. That is also another way in which to foster that confidence.
It's the mindset that can then be interchanged. Well, the mindset stays. It's steady. It's static. What's dynamic is the skill. Whether it's learning to sleep, whether it's learning to eat, whether it's learning to use the potty, whether it's whatever it is, the mindset that you use to approach those things that are more dynamic, it all makes sense when you think of it that way. And that's ultimately the done goal too. Mm-hmm. So let's just define independence for a sec, and then let's get granular like we always love to do. So independence, we know this. The ability to think, act, and make decisions freely without relying on or being controlled by others. We know that. However, our M take on it, give it a good try. That's the independence.
Yep.
And then know when to ask for help. And that's the advocating part of it, which they have to go together.
Yep.
They just do, in my opinion.
Period. Throughout the course of your lifetime.
Yeah. Forever.
Forever.
At least we think so. Is there anything right now, like in your daughter's day-to-day or even in your day-to-day functioning that you're like, oh, I wish we had like maybe a little more independence with this skill or this, or maybe something that you might be anticipating that we can kind of play around with?
Yeah, I think like honestly what comes most to mind are the things we struggle the most with, which is obviously transitions, particularly in the morning. And she's gotten better in knowing like what to predict and how it's going to happen. But it's more just the like delay, like death by timer. Like it's really like she is 2 more minutes set time. Hey, Google, set time of 2 minutes. Like, it's just, I don't even set the timers anymore.
She's doing it. She's so independent.
No, literally.
She's doing it.
My Google actually just set the timer, so it's going to go off soon. Of course.
That's funny.
So I think when I think about this, I'm like, I don't even know if this would solve that. But, like, getting to a point where she can independently get dressed for school.
Yeah.
You know, just like, okay, I'm going to put the dishes in the dishwasher. Whether it's, you know, a few years from now, she's going upstairs and getting dressed in the morning just like your clothes are on the table or in the playroom for you. Please go put your clothes on.
Yes.
And get dressed. You know, I think there is when the clock is ticking and like there's resistance in every step. It is like, and you have to be in lockstep with every step.
Yes.
It's like.
It's painful.
Like it's physically painful.
Actually painful.
I could at least in tandem be doing something else while she's moving through that transition.
Right.
Which is why the 3 days a week when my husband's not home in the morning are my least favorite days of the week, because it's like, well, at least we could like tag team. And it's like, well, he could take care of that. I could like do this or vice versa. So
you're operating in productive silos.
Yeah.
That's when you have time. kind of against you and the level of ease not so much on your side as it relates to fostering independence, but she doesn't want to get dressed. You're going to have to step in and get her dressed, right? Yeah. Like that's, I think, where that thinking nugget of what am I doing versus what is she doing really comes to play, right? Because if we zoom out, let's just say your daughter is 5 years old.
Yep.
And we want her, this is like in a perfect ideal world, it doesn't happen like this, but if we're looking at prioritizing independence, we want her to be the one to get dressed on her own, to pack her school lunch, to put her school lunch in her backpack, to zip up the backpack.
Google stop timer.
Set my Google timer. That's hysterical. So you see what I'm getting at, though. You see all of the different things that we one day will expect a 5-year-old or 6-year-old to complete with independence. Scaling it back, though, we're the ones doing all of that right now. So how are we, with time not always on our side and with ease not always on our side, and looking at things of, we only have 5 minutes to get out the door. I literally have to do all of those things.
Yeah.
But how am I also building their independence? All of these things, that's what makes all of this so tricky.
You're right, exactly.
But scaling small and chunking as much as you can is a really good place to start. Thinking about what would be an easy slam dunk for her to do on her own.
Yeah.
Maybe it's does she pick out her clothes?
In theory, like not in practice. Like if we're evolving in that, it's, I'm going to take everything out of my dresser and say, oh, this pretty. This pretty, meaning I being her. This pretty. Oh, this pretty, mama. But like she's not actually picking out her outfit.
Right. Then you're coming in, right? And say like, we're going to wear this today. We're going to wear this today. And then do you think after that, so like you're still going to pick out to hone the attention.
Yeah.
If you were, and I love a good tagline. Like I always say for pants, like tag in the back, tag in the back, put the tag in the back, tag in the back. So they know how to lay out their pants to make sure the tag is in the back, because they could pretty seamlessly, I mean, with a little bit of support.
Yeah.
If your pants are laid out, the tag is in the back or against the floor, they could figure out how to put their pants on.
Totally.
If it's laid out.
Yeah.
So that's one step to just try. You still help with the shirt, but maybe you start with the pants.
That's a great, it's so funny you say that, because in her progress report, it was talking about like the self-help skills and like she's doing great with washing her hands and doing this. And like we're still working on the lifting of the pants back up after potty time,
which is hard.
Which will come in turn in the next classroom when she's potty training and so on and so forth. But like very cohesive, because that's happening in 2 weeks. And this is a great opportunity for me to also be supporting that at home in a different capacity than potty learning.
Exactly. And that's it. The fishbowl, you strike when the iron isn't hot, when you're not like in it with emotions running so high.
Yep.
Practice pulling up and down your pants. However, whenever you have free time, set a bonk in that cupola. Let's practice pulling up and down your pants. And now my 2.5-year-old just runs around naked all the time because we taught that skill and he's got it. And I'm like, crap, everyone's naked. Penis is everywhere. Yay. Wonderful. But you see what I'm getting at when you like zoom in on just one little micro part of the transition. A, you see much how much you're doing, which is insane to know like that's all on your mental load before 9 a.m. is insane. But it also gives you this model in the special ed world. We call it the gradual release of responsibility model, which is like I do it, we do it together, you do it, and then you do it alone, which is ultimately the independence goal, and then reflecting throughout. But when you can look at like a big step, like getting dressed, see how you could chunk it, see how you can make it manageable for them to do one part by themselves, it starts the momentum, and then it also allows you to see what am I doing versus what are they doing.
Yeah, that's amazing. What are your I don't want to say your favorite, but what is your like least dreaded example of this that you've done with the boys?
Okay, good question. I'm trying to think. So I would say the potty learning right now, like, we're getting to a point where we're pretty much independent with my oldest. He's been independent for, you know, about a year and a half now.
Yeah.
But number two is always trickier, right? So we're now at a point where it's like, and they're all, I mean, I don't really dread. It's hard because I see, like, the excitement in, like, learning new skills.
I know.
So all of it I'm going to enter, and, like, we're talking about poop, but, like, wait, what?
Yeah,
I'm excited
about
it. It's weird. But the wiping aspect is really hard.
Yeah.
It is. And right now, that's what I'm doing. And I'm using this language of him, which is all, with him, which is also a true truth, no lies. Like, it can feel really good to do things by myself. And it feels good to do things together first, too. And right now, I'm just being very intentional. Like, we're in the together phase because you're still learning. But if you're going to go poop at school, that's you doing it by yourself. And you're going to have to do it by yourself because your teacher's not going to come and wipe your tush. The goal is for you to do it by yourself.
Yep.
So I'm using that language with him. And right now that we're scaffolding the process even more, he'll do the first wipe. And then I'll go in for the second mommy wipe.
Yeah. That's great to, like, really making it to your point, like, more granular, like, as granular as you can for everyone involved.
Exactly. And it takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of effort. But when you kind of see each task of being able to chunk it just a little bit, it gives them a sense of confidence and excitement to approach it.
Yeah.
And sees the bigger picture, too.
Yeah,
I think
totally.
Another one that just – sorry to cut you off.
No.
Another one that just came to mind, too, when the boys come home from school, I'm really trying – not every time, but I'm really trying to have them own opening up their lunch – opening up their backpack. Think about how many steps are involved.
Yeah.
You open your backpack. You take out your lunchbox. You open your lunchbox. You take out your lunch – the actual – you know, bento box that your lunch was in, and you put it in the sink. Like, you own that.
Yeah, I love that.
And we're there with my almost 5-year-old, but it still takes a lot of verbal prompting. Soon, I just look at him. So I'm trying to, like, remove the verbal prompting, and I'll say, oh, and I'll look at his backpack, and I'll be like, oh, I got to do that. And then I make it clear to him, like, I clean them and make your lunch. That's on my responsibility landscape. But what's on yours?
Do you find that generally, and I know this is a generalization, but with things like that, it is an easier transition with the second because he's watching his brother do it already and it's already, like, been a repeat for him?
You got it.
Yeah.
You got it. Classic example of that. I don't think I ever explicitly taught my second tag in the back.
Yeah.
But he's heard me sing it every morning for his whole life.
Right.
And the other day, he's like, tag in the back. And I was like, yes.
Yes.
So 100%.
And your second gets home from school before your first, but you still all do that at the same time?
We all do it at the same time. My second is not, I mean, the 2.5-year-old is definitely not doing that as much.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, one time a week.
Yeah.
Which, like, fine. You
it's
have
like
to also.
It's performative at that point.
Correct. Yeah. Like, oh, I'm going to do it when I want to do it. And okay, done. Got to know when to dial it up versus dial it down.
For
you
sure.
know? But I think, like, it gives you a chance now to kind of take inventory on some of those daily tasks on your responsibility to-do list that ultimately you want to gradually release to put in your child's independence court.
Yeah. That's super. Can you say that one more time?
I have no idea what I said. This gives you a chance to take inventory on what's on your responsibility landscape. And ultimately show, like, what should actually be on your child's responsibility landscape to foster their independence.
Yeah. I think when you're in, again, speaking for myself, like, being in the phase where I am right now with a 2-plus-year-old where, again, like, everything is a lot mentally and physically. And she's amazing. And it's a lot, right?
Yes. Two truths.
That it's so overwhelming to think about all like how we get there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, so you breaking it down in this way is so helpful because it's like, okay, like we're not just going like with anything. It's a long road, high view. You're not just thinking about like, hey, one day she'll be able to get herself out of the house. It's like, okay, but what can I do every day? Like, what are little things, you know, month by month or week by week that I can start instituting to just like, you know, because I'm sure if I actually did the exercise right now of thinking, what are the things that we've already done or already seen that happened with in the last 6 months, I'm probably not even recognizing because we're in life fast forward right now.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why I love this little meta moment. We're carving out a little space to take that inventory because it shows how much there is that you're doing that like you have to because it's hard and because from timing, from ease, it's less of a lift, all of the above. But am I helping the process or am I hurting it as it relates to building up my child's independence?
Yeah.
And that's like, oh, okay. Or I am doing a lot and I didn't even realize that I'm doing a lot. For sure. Now you can kind of shift to another lens of that, which also eases your lift. Like we just prioritize putting on shoes independently. Mm-hmm. It's still not 100% there, especially with the 2.5-year-old. But like I will roll up the socks and I'll scaffold that and I'll put the socks next to the shoes that are literally laid out in the just right way because that scaffold needs to be there for them to independently and successfully put on their socks and then put on their shoes. Mm-hmm. In a couple of weeks, will I stop doing that? I hope so.
Yeah.
You got to know when to dial it up or dial it down.
And I'm sure there's a bit of trial and error that goes along with that
too. Oh, yeah. All the time. All the time. But right, the goal is for them to put their shoes on by themselves.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Yeah. That's
the goal. Work backward from there and figure out which one is worth prioritizing now as it relates to what you think your child could be successful in doing and what you can also be successful in as it relates to helping implement it too.
I'm just thinking... we have like a little, we don't have a mudroom, unfortunately. I think you do.
Sorry.
And but we do have this little like cabinet in our living room that's near the garage. And that's where we just like have her shoes because it's halfway in between the sliding glass door for going outside in the backyard to play and the garage to go out of the house. And at one point or another, I inventoried her shoes, donate, put away, whatever, and put what fit in there. And then as we know, in 6 weeks time, those changed. And then I just haven't inventoried in real time.
I have to do that. So thank you.
It's kind of just become like a growing collection. And it's so funny because just like as you're talking, I'm thinking like, oh, we will ask her, can you go get your shoes? I'm putting them on, but can you go get your shoes? And there's a few different options she can choose from. And also many more options that she can choose from, but like, you're not going to wear today. And she knows like the three pairs that she generally wears. But it's funny because sometimes she'll go in and she'll shiny object like this random pair of shoes and she'll pull it out and she'll go, these fit, mama? And I go, no, those don't fit. Well, oh, okay. And then go back in and get like a different pair.
I love her.
Again, like this is just like in the moment, I'm like, no, other pair, thank you. But like having this meta conversation and thinking like, wow, like that is so independent of her to be able to pick out of like so many different shoes, 9 times out of 10, pick out the shoes that are appropriate for her to wear that day and bring them over to me. But then also when she's shiny objecting, like, oh, these are interesting, is independent enough to know like, I feel like I don't wear these often.
Yes.
Like, do these fit me, Mom?
I'm
like,
obsessed that you know? Asked that. That's huge.
These fit.
Yeah, like the metacognition there of just like thinking, that's amazing. That's amazing. Right. So that's why the inventory is so beautiful here because it sheds light on that. Mm-hmm. And like the thinking and what she is doing cognitively from an independent standpoint. And whether that translates to like physical independence, that's different. But looking at it holistically, I think can only guide you to think even more, wow, what are they doing? And that's amazing.
Yeah.
Or what are my doing that I want them to be doing more of? Mm-hmm. Clearing the plates is another big one for me right now to answer your question too. I love it.
Yeah.
I don't expect them to do it every time.
Yeah.
But I like them owning like, okay, your belly's full. great, the next meal is breakfast. Whether you ate everything or not, the next meal is breakfast. When you're done, put your whatever's on your plate in the garbage and put your plate in the sink, and then you're free to go.
I think that's great. And the language is so concrete. We're missing the language component of that right now, but we have been, at least the family dinner nights, we are like, help, mommy's going to be at the sink, bring mommy the dishes, help daddy clear the table.
Yes. Yes. It shows them the bigger picture. And it shows, again, like the responsibility landscape plus the independence. I think that's the algorithm here.
Yeah. The responsibility landscape and then the independence.
Yeah. 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 Ooh. And again, like it can feel good to do things by yourself and by myself. And it can also feel really good to do things together.
Yes, exactly. Two truths. I love that. Two truths, no freaking lies. Anything else on independence for today, Madame?
Ooh, I mean, there's so much, but I feel like it would spiral us in a different direction.
No, I know, probably would. It probably would.
But maybe we can, just hearing what you said before about the language, I think there's a convo there. Maybe we'll park it. But it makes me think about the concept of questioning over cueing. Do you know what I mean by that?
No, I think I do, but tell me more.
Yeah, so here's an example. Can you go get your shoes on versus go get your shoes on?
Yeah. Yeah, this is a big one.
They hear a question and you're opening the door for them to say no.
I know. It's not calling Mike out specifically.
We love you, Mike.
We love you. And I'm definitely guilty of it. It's not like I might eliminate it from my vocabulary. But a lot of times during transitions, especially more like in the nighttime ones, it's a lot of can we? And, yes. And it's like it's not a yes or no. We cannot ask yes or no questions.
It's time to. So you either can do it yourself independently or I'm going to pick you up and move you. Your choice.
Mm-hmm. I would be remiss, though, if I didn't. I'm feeling guilty already saying that about Mike. I'd be remiss not to call out, though, that like he is also way better at like remaining on task with her and being like, nope, the timer went off. So like while like he, you know, I am 100% the problem when it comes to our transitions. But that's like the one thing that I feel like in those moments I could be like, let's not ask a question that no could be the answer to.
It's so hard. That's why this work is so much about us and not just about our kids. Like, we have to own our blind spots, what's going well and what's not. So it is hard. And there is time and space. Like, I am inspired by you knowing like, okay, no, we're going to lean into this and we're going to have fun and it's going to be a moment, whether it's finger painting or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And then also, like, it always comes back to the balance.
It does. It does. I'm just picturing her. She does this thing where, like, if you're giving her cues to, like, that we have to, she just will get really quiet, make her voice very small. Because I wonder who does that when they're trying to get your attention. And she goes, Mama, shh, no talk. Shh, no talk, Mama. And it's like, and then I'll, like, try, like, no, shh, no talk. And I'm like, well, but I have something to say. And like, I don't tell you not to talk. Like,
don't silence me.
Literally.
And she's like, I made you.
She's basically like, I don't like the direction this conversation's taking. I need you to stop talking. And so I could proceed with whatever I'm enjoying at this moment. Mama, no, shh. No talk.
It's so funny when they give back to you what you give to them. I remember my almost 5-year-old was like, try again. I was like, wait, I don't need to try again. It's time to go upstairs.
I've been trying for a very long time.
There is nothing for me to try again.
I've been trying for the last 16 hours. It is time for you to try again and get upstairs.
It's so relatable. It's so relatable. So maybe it is a good call to action. I kind of want to hear what people's take on this convo was, what skills are you looking for your kid, no matter how old they are, as it relates to like them becoming more independent, and write into Dear Empaths.
Dear Empaths. Yeah, no, for real. I'm going to put something out on Instagram for people to submit their request for your isms related to this. So, like, for example, putting on the pants, which the song? Tags in the back. Like anything like that that we can like hold on to for different domains that we're, you know, trying to cement or, you know, whatever it might be.
I love it.
I just find that so helpful because if I can remember that, it almost helps me then to remember everything that comes even before it. You know?
Yeah. It keeps you grounded. Like the things that I sing when I am manic Michelle, it helps me. I'm like, okay, I know I'm singing because I'm manic, but like take a deep breath. I just become Miss Rachel.
Yeah, no, 100%. And then, no, mama, quiet.
What? Can I whisper something in your ear? Please be quiet. I'm like, no.
My house, my rules. My house,
jokes
my
on you. Jokes on you. Until you leave the nest.
Yeah, exactly.
Aww, oh, man.
Nice callback. Anyway, well, thank you all for listening today.
This was great.
No, for us. Actually, thank you, Michelle, for downloading your beautiful brain, as always, and giving me all the tools to tackle the next round of parenting that comes my way.
I appreciate you saying that. You know, this is my juice. I'm so passionate. This is my equivalent to when I get Mel's vision boards on a morning. I'm like, yes, it gets me going. So yeah, no, I'm glad.
Well, thank you so much. You all know where to find us at the MTake Podcast on Instagram and on TikTok and on YouTube and the fun places.
Are we on YouTube?
Yeah, I think we have like some shorts up there, but like,
oh my god,
the goal is, should I say it here first? I think the goal should be come end of year.
Yeah.
We'll say Q4 as like a time it's going to happen.
Great.
But like by 2026, like we will be putting these full episodes on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like you'll be able to watch live while you're doing the dishes.
Oh my God.
Not you, the collective you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. General collective.
We probably jump out.
Just you had two streams today at 9 p.m.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, I think that's a realistic goal. And I think it sounds fun.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
We're fun to look at. I mean,
couldn't agree with you more.
We have our isms ooze out of our face.
Yeah, and you know what? Q4 is good because, like, I don't know if I need there to be archival footage of, like, how I get aggressively larger and larger and larger over the next 5 months.
Yeah, like, let us not forget you're about to have a baby.
Archival of how I get smaller and smaller and smaller.
Starting in January of 2026. Yeah. Sounds great.
Or, like, just, like, October, you'd be like, oh, and then, you know, January, it's like, oh, this is what she's supposed to look like.
She's getting her pink back. We see it.
Literally.
Oh, man. Yeah, we're going to have to brainstorm the plan. Is it going to be like a Mission Friends, like Jackson Friends on the toast?
Oh,
or is she going to be here? Or is she going to be here? We have to be thoughtful and intentional.
Yeah, we'll be thoughtful and intentional. I don't know. Like, I don't – usually when I'm having false confidence, like, there's something in the back of my head that's, like, being like you're having false confidence and I ignore it.
Yeah.
But I don't feel that way when I say, like – I think I'll be good. Like, a couple weeks, 3 weeks, you know, whatever. Yeah, take some time off. But, like, not for nothing. My daughter's going to be in school full time.
I think it'll just
be, like, we'll just have to get used to the ebb and flow of like, the flexing schedule.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
You know?
We
but
will.
I won't be working. And my daughter's going to be in school full time. And my husband's going to be off for probably, like, a couple weeks at least. So, like, I think
we'll have a plan A and a plan B.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If anyone would like to come co-host with Michelle.
Oh, my gosh. Let's put it out. A feeler. Mission Friends. Let's see. We could Amy Poehler.
Oh.
Great. Manifest.
Well, I think we could probably carve out space for him. But, like, selfishly, no. Like, oh, I wouldn't be there.
That would be so rude. Like, imagine if I had cool people on, and without you, I could never.
I would be like, this is kind of diabolical. Have you been, like, holding back these resources?
We're looking for fringe supporters.
Yeah, or just, like, you know, friends of the pod.
Yeah, a Mormon wife, perhaps.
Like, from the show. like secret lives of Mormon wives or any any women of the Mormon faith that would like to come on the podcast. That's at the top of Michelle's list of slots to fill. Oh,
are you looking to make your life less secret? Less secretive?
Oh,
this
God.
Is your chance.
That can be like an offshoot podcast if you'd like.
I'm dead. All right. Let's land the plane before it crashes.
All right. I think we already started too, but love you so much.
I distracted you.
No. We're I don't think there's anything else to say. See you guys soon.
Subscribe.
Go off.
Subscribe.
Fly birdie fly. Give yourself a smooch. Love you.
Give yourself a smooch. I love you so much.
Love
you.